Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom, welcome back to today's Daf, which is Pesachim Lamed Zayin. We're at the last line on Lamed Vav Amud Beis. It says, Martan Rabbonan Ein Oifin Pasava B'Pesach, Devir Beis Shammai, according to Beis Shammai, one may not produce a thick matzah. We're concerned that since it's going to take a while for it to bake, perhaps during that time it's going to turn into chametz. Ubeis Hillel Matirin, according to Beis Hillel, it's fine. There's no concern of chametz. B'kama Pasava. To what extent, how thick can that matzah be, according to Beis Hillel? Amar Rav Huna, tefach. Up to a tefach. Why? How does he get that shear? Shekein matzinu b'lechem aponim tefach. Because we find a similar concept by the lechem aponim. So we know that all menachis, lechem aponim included, are meant to be chametz, matzah, can't be chametz. And still we find that the lechem aponim had a thickness of a tefach. So apparently, even bread, matzah, which is a tefach thick, can be free of chametz. Mask of Rav Yosef. So Rav Yosef challenged this. How could you compare? Im Omer Bezrizen, if this was allowed by Lechem Aponim, which was produced by who? By the Kohanim, who are diligent, conscientious, and knowledgeable, and careful. Yoyim Rubish Einan Zrizen, can that be applied by the commoner, ordinary person, who is not necessarily a Zoris? And perhaps his matzah can turn into chametz if he's not careful. Im Omer B'Pasa Mela, this was said, this was allowed by the Lechem Aponim, which was pas amil. Rashi explains, based on the Mishnah Menachos, they would go ahead and bang the wheat and bang the dough, make sure it's properly refined and properly kneaded. So that bakes effectively. Yoyim ruva pas shein amil. Can this be applied to ordinary bread, ordinary matzah, which doesn't have this element, and perhaps takes longer to bake? And if it's going to be thick, you're going to compound the concern. Im amru beitzim yibeshim. This was allowed by the lechem aponim, which is baked using super dry wood. Yoyim rav etzim lachem, can this be applied to ordinary wood, which is perhaps still a bit moist? Im omer b'tar lacham, if this was said in the Beis HaMikdash, which had a properly heated oven, which was heated throughout the entire day, prepared for the menachos and for the breads, so it was a superheated oven. Yoyim rav b'tar tzoinen, can this be applied to just a ordinary oven, which is perhaps not as hot? Im amru b'tano shama teches, if this was said when it comes to a tano in the Beis HaMikdash, which was made out of metal, which was a proper conductor, or conduct high heat, yoyim amru b'tano shalcheres, can this be applied to ordinary tano shalcheres, which perhaps isn't that effective? You can't compare one to the other. Let's take a look at Rashi, up on top of the Amud. V'kama pas av a tefach, v'afilu hochi, even a tefach wide, shor b'yisil, aval tfei b'tefach loy, but not pas a tefach. Hazik et tefach, shekei matzina b'lechem aponim, shu asur lo v'chametz, k'damin b'menachez, kol ha-mincha shat ha-grivu, l'rabiz lechem aponim, l'chimetz, la'azhora, sh'lech mitzah, we have a lav. That all menachez, including lechem aponim, must be non-chametz material, v'afilu hochi, even so, o'ivi do'ifnois of tefach, the thickness of its walls were a tefach. How does Rashi know? D'hainu lechem shoy lo aponim, lechem aponim has to have a face, has to have a flap. And we know from elsewhere, Gemara Sukkah proves this, that the term panim must be at least a minimum of a tefach in size. So the side flap, the face of the lechem aponim, needed to be at least a tefach in thickness, and we see there's no concern of chametz. So this was Rav Huna. Rav Yosef challenged, Im Amru, if this was applied by the lechem aponim, which was given over to this reason, kohanim shebekim b'shimurai, they're experts in ensuring that it doesn't turn into chametz, shleyachmetz, yatiru lechol adam shein as reason, can this be applied to an ordinary person? If this was said by pasam mela, sheinam maheres lahachmetz, shamei losa makvasa, this treatment that it undergoes prevents it from becoming chametz, amela breirok is nanakal menachos tunin, Shloishmei is shifa, v'chameshmei is bita, different ways of banging and kicking it. So this would, this process would make it more refined and allow it to bake effectively. as this was applied by Tanur Cham, using a super hot oven. B'chol yoyim tamid ha'imasik in Tanur Shamigdash la'afiyas manachis v'lach mitoyde. So the oven of the Beis Hamikdash was heated throughout the day, ready to make manachis, lach mitoyde. So it was constantly hot, as opposed to this oven here, which was a cold oven, which he's now heating. Perhaps it won't bake so effectively. And that delay, added to the fact that it was a thick matzah, will delay matters even more and produce chametz. So as opposed to the Tanur Cham in the Beis Hamikdash, which was v'shal matechas hayah, made of metal, k'samanim b'zvach ha'peret amchatz. Likewise, in the Beis Hamikdash, you have another advantage. Beit miveishim, it was dry wood. Because the wood in the Beis Hamikdash was collected throughout the summer months. K'daminim v'tanis. Mechamisha asa ba'av ve'elach. From the 15th day to ba'av and on, they would stop collecting firewood for the Beis Hamikdash. Why? Toshash koicha shel cham. The heat coming from the sun wasn't as intense any longer. V'lo yehayu kersin etzil marochan. Therefore, they wouldn't chop any longer firewood for the Mizbeach, because they wanted to make sure the wood is truly dry through and through. So once the temperature out there started cooling down, the sun wasn't as powerful, they weren't sure that the fire would be dry through and through, and they would stop the collection at that point. So we see that they used Eitz Mivashim. So we have five advantages, five benefits that were found in the Beis Hamikdash as opposed to the ordinary common oven baking process, and therefore you can't necessarily compare the two things. That was Rav Yosef's challenge. So how could we allow the matzah on Pesach to be so thick up to a tefach? It says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Yirmiyah Baba, She'ilis es Rebbe b'yichud. Rav Yirmiyah asked his Rebbe, says, I asked my Rebbe, b'yichud, in private. I asked him very clearly, because here's going to come a big chiddush in the pshat and the brisa. So he's highlighting the fact that it was a clear, direct question, and there was nobody else around, so it was certainly my Rebbe who told me the answer. Who was my Rebbe? Umanoi Rav. So Rav was the Rebbe of Rabbi Yirmiyah. Ikad Amri. There's another version of what happened. Omar Rabbi Yirmiyah. Bar Abba Omar Rav. So according to this, Rabbi Yirmiyah was quoting his Rebbe Rav. And Rav was the one who posed the question. She'ilis says, Rebbe b'yichud. I asked my Rebbe b'yichud. Who's the Rebbe? Umanai Rabbein HaKadosh. So Rabbein HaKadosh, Rabbi Danossi, was the Rebbe of Rav. So Rav posed the question to Rebbe. My Passover. What is the definition of Passover in this brisa? What are Bishil coming to allow? And he responded, it's not referring to thickness. Pas meruba. We're speaking about a large quantity of bread, of dough, of matzah that he's baking at once. And the point is that Beis Shammai are concerned about unnecessary tircha. You can't go ahead and produce a large amount of matzah. We're speaking about thin matzah. No chametz concern. There's a tircha concern. So on Yom Tov, you're not meant to do this. Whereas Beis Hillel, there's no concern. And some farshim explain, because when you have an oven full of loaves of bread, in this case it's matzah, everything in there benefits from the fact that the oven is filled and the heat is intense. So there is a benefit. There's a purpose in baking a lot of bread at once. So that's the point of machlokes. It's not thickness, rather, it's the quantity, how much you're baking. My Passover pas merub. I might correlate Passover. So why is the Bryce refer to it as Passover? Thick. Mishum de nefisha belisha. Because when you bake a lot of bread, once you make a large size dough. So it's referring to a large size dough producing lots of matzahs. Everybody say another pshat. But asr da'i tana, in the location of this tana, of the Bryce here, the pas meruba, Passover correlate. They refer to lots of bread with the term Passover. That's all he's referring to. A large amount of bread, rather than the thickness, the size, the shape of the bread itself. Says it on my time. Okay, so what's the concern according to Reish Shammai? Why should you refrain from doing this? So if it's a tircha concern, because this large breaking process involves great exertion, we don't allow it on Yom Tov. But it's not a chametz concern. So why does the Braisa apply this halacha specifically to Pesach? I feel it'll be Yom Tov Nami. This would apply to any ordinary Yom Tov. It's a tircha concern, not a chametz concern. Ain't a chanami, you're right. Vai Tana, be Yom Tov Shal Pesach Koy. This Tana happened to be speaking on Yom Tov. So he was teaching the halacha on Pesach, be Yom Tov Shal Pesach. And that's why he referred to Pesach. He said, on Pesach you can't bake a lot of bread, a lot of matzah, because he happened to be standing on Pesach. But of course, it's a universal concept which applies to every Yom Tov. Tani Nam Yoch, we have a support from the Braisa, that it's a Yom Tov concern. One cannot go ahead and bake Passover on Yom Tov. So clearly, it's not a Pesach concern. It's a Tircha concern, and it applies to any Yom Tov. And they allow baking lots of matzah, lots of bread, even on Yom Tov. So according to the conclusion of Al-Gemara, Beis Hillel are allowing a large quantity, but not necessarily thick matzah. Therefore, in halacha, it's brought down, we're meant to prefer thin over thick. So we're meant to bake our matzahs as soon as we could to avoid any concern of chimatz. Tan Rabbanan, yoytzin bepas nekiyah ubahadra. One is yoytzin by eating matzah, which was made from clean, high quality, refined flour, ubahadra, or from whole grain flour. Ubisrikin hamatsuyar bepesach. And even using matzah, so shriken is these matzahs hamatsuyaron, which were designed. So even this type of matzah is suitable for matzah smitzah v'yitzir is yoytzir. Afal b'shah amru, even though the Chacham said ein oisin, shriken hamatsuyaron v'pesach. We're not meant to produce these matzahs which have designs. The concern is that the designing process delays the baking process and it can turn into chametz. So l'chatchila, don't do it, but b'di'evet, if one eats it, he's yoytze, the mitzvah of matzah on Pesach. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, says Rabbi Yehuda, davar zeh, shal baisois ben zoinin l'chacham. Baisois ben zoinin asked the chacham regarding this halacha. Bipnei ma, amru, ein oisin shriken hamtsuyar mepesach. Why? Why did the chacham say, you're not meant to do this on Pesach? Amru lo, the chacham responded, what's wrong with designed breads? Bipnei sha'isha, shaya aleh, we're concerned that the Isha, who's designing this bread, waits on it and delays, and due to that delay, it can turn into chametz. Amar lahem, so Baisis responded, there's a way out, there's a way to circumvent this concern. Efshar yasena betfos. A person go ahead and form the design into a, put it into a tfus, into a mold, and just stamp it onto the dough, kevan, straight away, directly, easily, quickly, without any delays. Just have a pre-designed form and use it in a way that it doesn't delay the production process. Amar lo, Chacham responded, we can't allow it. We have to issue a wall-to-wall universal issa. Why? Yoimru klasrikin asur, because if we allow this fellow to use his mold, people are going to say, look, all srikin are asr, usriki baisus matar, and the srikim of this baisus fellow are mutar, because he has a form. They won't realize why this one's mutar, this one's asr, because Rashi explains, most bakers don't have this type of mold. So they won't realize why. Why is it that everybody's asr and this one's mutar? They'll get confused, and it can bring about a mikshul. People will no longer differentiate. They'll say, well, you see, his shriken amutter, apparently, there's no concern. So according to this version of the Gemara, the way the Chacham responded to Baisos indicates that they issued an absolute isser for anybody to go ahead and design his matzah on Pesach, concerned about delay, and we don't make any exceptions. Even if a person has a form, Loi plug. Omar Rabbi Elazar bar Tzadok. Pamachas nechnasti. There was once a time that I followed Achar Abba. I followed my father. Lebeis Rabbi Gamliel. Into the home of Rabbi Gamliel. They view the fun of Srikan HaMetzuyon Pesach. And they served him these designed matzis. And what's Pesach? Oh, Martis. I turned to my father. Abba. Loikach Amr Chacham. Didn't Chacham say, when I'm meant to bake this type of matzah? Hey, no, it's in Srikan HaMetzuyon Pesach. So why are they producing this Srikan HaMetzuyon? Amr Ali. So he turned to me and he said, B'nai, my son. It's not universal. Loi shall kol Adam Amru. Chacham did not refer to the srikin, which are designed and baked by the commoner, who's not so meticulous about designing his thing properly, and doesn't lead to considerable delay. Elo shel nachtoimin amru. They only refer to the srikin, which are produced by the commercial bakers, who are concerned about the designs to make sure it's perfect and professional looking, and that truly delays the baking process. But just an ordinary commoner has no concern. Ikedamit is another version of his response. They said like this, Hachi Karmeli, lo yishal nachtoim in amru. Actually, the issue did not apply to the ones produced by the nachtoimen, because since they're professionals and they can just do it quickly, as Rashi points out, they have molds, so there's no concern of delay. Elishal kaladim. Rather, it applied to a commoner who doesn't have that ability and will delay matters and creates a chametz concern. So according to this, it won't necessarily be compatible with the earlier Gemara that the Isser applies to all equally. We see, we draw a distinction between the Nachtaim and the Kaladim, one way or the other. Amrav Yes, Oysen Shriken Kamin Rakikin. You meant to know that you may go ahead and design these Shriken if they are thin in size. Vein Oysen Shriken Kamin Gliskois. However, you can't do the Shriken if they're thick in size, because the fact that it's thick, compounded by the fact that you're delaying the process by designing it, creates a chametz concern. So in summary, we learned a braisa that we're not meant to make srikin hametzuyarin on Pesach. According to the initial chachamim, this applies to all equally. We don't differentiate. According to the story involving our tzaddik's father, we do differentiate between the nachtaim and kol adam. According to one version, the nachtaim is mutter, kaladam is aser. According to the next version, the nachtaim was actually aser because he delays matters, and kaladam a mutter. Rabbeisi added, this only applies to a thick matzah, a gluska, but rikikin, which are thin in any case, so this slight delay won't pose any chametz concern. Continues the Gemara. Tan Rabban, hasuf ganan. Now we're going to speak about the true definition of the word lechem. So matzah needs to be lechem oini. We know that for chi of chala, it needs to be lechem. We learn from the pasuk ba'achal lechem mi lechem ha'aretz. So what exactly is considered lechem? Says the braisa sufganan, if we have bread which is a spongy material, vaduv shanan was fried in oil, v'isrik is kiritin. This is a soft, a liquidy batter. V'chala samasras, a chala which was fried in a pan. V'amaduma, or bread made from dough, which is maduma. Maduma means that there's some truma mixed in. In all these cases, pturim menachala. They're exempt from chala. Why? Let's see Rashi inside. So you'll notice the wide lines on bottom. It's right in the middle of that top wide line. The first wide line. Ptur menachal explains Rashi, dechsiv ba'och lechem mi lechem aretz. It needs to be lechem, to be chayv and chal. V'hani, all these examples listed in the Gemara, lav lechem ninu. They're not regarded as true lechem. They're baked, they're cooked. They're not the true lechem in its true form. L'kameh mefarish tam asun. The Gemara explained the exact reason. So that applies to the sivganan, the duvshanan, the iskaritin, the chalas hamesres. What about the meduma, says Rashi, v'meduma? Chulin shenafel trumel seichan potter, the terima trumuksiv. Torah says, separate a portion, a piece of dough, as chala terima truma veloy shekvar haya truma, as opposed to something which is already truma, such as this meduma which has a din of truma. In which case, it's pater from chal. Let's go back to the Gemara. My chalas hamasras. What exactly is this? Amar Rabbi Shimon Levi is a cholot shel balei batim. It's some type of scalded flour, so it's not a true bread. The balei batim make this type of baked good, which is not. Rashi says it doesn't have the tikkun lechem, wasn't produced like a loaf of bread. So it doesn't have the bread form, the bread. It doesn't have the description of bread, the design of bread, and therefore it's part of Amchal. Continues the Gemara. Now let's go back to the entire list. Sevganan, Duvshanan, Iskarit, and Chalas HaMasras. What's really wrong with them? Why don't they constitute lechem? We have two pshatim. Omer Shlokish. Halolu mas ilfasein. You know what's wrong with them? Because they're not oven baked. They're baked, they're cooked in a pot. Ilf is a type of pot. It doesn't have the same effect. It doesn't produce the same product as an oven. Lechem needs to be oven baked. Therefore, they're pot of amchal. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, mas ilfas chayavan. You meant to know that something baked in an ilfas is chayavan chal. You don't need to have a tanner. So Rashi brings that according to Rish Lakish. The pasuk says, lachmachem betanner echad. Lechem needs to be produced by a tanner. Kotei Abrechem, not necessarily. Even a pot can produce bread, can bake bread. So it's a pot, so it's being used as an oven in this case. So that can't be the reason why these things are exempt from challah. Rather, v'halalu, sh'asam b'chama. All these products, all these listed in the brises of gun, etc., the reason why they don't constitute lechem is because they were produced using the heat of the sun, b'cham, solar heat, which doesn't produce bread. Apparently the effect of heat inside the oven is very different than just using sunlight. We find a similar concept in Gemara Shabbos for Bishul, that the true melacha of Bishul is only if you're using heat of a fire. But using solar heat apparently doesn't have the same effect, and it's not considered Bishul, it's not the Derech Bishul. Halachically, it's not considered Bishul. So likewise here, when it comes to Afiyah, says Rabbi Yochanan, the true lechem needs to be oven-baked. It needs to be baked using heat of a fire, but not solar heat. Says the Gemara, is that the case? That according to Rish Lakish, even bread baked in an ilfas constitutes lechem? Meisve, hasuv gonen, vaduv shonen, vayis keritin. So it depends. Also on be'ilfas, chayavim. If he baked them in a pot, they're chayavim chal. B'cham aptur. If he baked them in the sun, they're pot. T'yufti, they're b'shem malakish. There's a kash of b'shem malakish. This b'raisa tells us that even in a pot is considered a proper baking process. Omar ula. Omar lach b'shem malakish. He's going to respond like this. This b'raisa is speaking about a unique case where he's using the pot like an oven. He's preheating the pot and then pasting his dough. In which case, it's served like an oven. I agree. That's considered lechem. Hochab Meir Skinan was speaking about a case, Shir Tiach Ulubasayif Hidbik. First, he heated up that pot. So now we have a preheated pot, Ulubasayif Hidbik, and then he pasted his dough. So now it's functioning like an oven. And of course, it's considered lechem. It's no different. It's no different than an ordinary oven. Aval says the Gemara Hidbik Ulubasayfir Tiach, but if you would have reversed the method, first pasted his dough, Ulubasayfir Tiach, and then heated up that pot, my, what is the halacha there? Hachinami Diptur, you're going to say it's potter? According to Rish Lakish, if it's preheated, it's considered like an oven. But if you first pasted the dough and then put the pot on the flame, that's not considered a proper baking process. And that's considered like cooked. And therefore he's potter. If that's true, Adetani Sefer. So when the Braisa proceeded, the Braisa that we just mentioned, began by saying, well, if it's Osoy Be'ilfas, it's Chayiv. If it's Osoy Be'chama, using the heat of sun, Osoy Be'chama Ptur, then it's potter. Liflay V'listen B'dida. The Braisa could have just made a split, drew a line within the pot itself. Sometimes it's potter, sometimes it's chayiv. If your suggestion is true, that even within a pot, it can be chayiv, it just depends on the method. Preheated is chayiv. post-heated is potter. So why did the Braisa have to look for an example of ptur from the cham? The Braisa could have made a distinction within the pot itself. Lifleg v'lisim b'dido. B'medva mamur. When is this dough baked in a pot chayev? Kigoyin shir tiach. L'basayv hidbik. If he preheated the pot. Aval hidbik. L'basayv tiach pturin. But if you reverse the order, first pasted his dough, and then was martiach the pot, we pot. So why did the Braisa present it like that? Answers the Gemara, Chasur Mechser Vachitoni. The Braisa is meant to be learned as though it's missing some words. And it says like this. B'med v'mamur. When is this dough chayv and chala? Shiratiach al-basayf hidvik. When he first preheated that pot and then pasted his dough. So the Braisa says, Ason be'ilfas chayavin. It's specific to this case. A preheated pot. Aval bot hidvik al-basayf hirtiach. But if you reverse matters, first pasted his dough and then heated the pot. Nasa kimi. Shasan macham upturn. That's as though he baked his dough in the oven, in the using solar heat, bachama, and of course it's pot. Let's see Rashi inside. So again, back to the wide lines, and the third wide line, towards the end of that third wide line, mas ilfasen. This is where Shlokish is pshat. What's wrong with all these materials, all these baked goods? Because they're mas ilfas. They're not oven baked. They're baked in the ilfas. L'fichach lav lechemo. The kasava ain lechem. It needs to be strictly oven baked. That's Rish Lakish's approach. Rabbi Yechon says even a ma'aseh ilfas is considered lechem. So what's wrong with these items? Because he baked them using the sun as opposed to an ordinary fire. And the Gemara concludes that according to Rish Lakish, sometimes, even within a pot, it's considered a proper baking process. Shiratiach ilfas, he first preheated the ilfas, v'achakach hidbuk balechem, then pasted his dough. Why is this difference? As Rashi, the havale ke'ein masatanur, hilka chayavin. It's reminiscent of the oven baking process. They've even according to Rish Lakish, his chayv. Chayv and chala. Let's go back to Al-Gamar. It says about four lines from the bottom, Toshma. Let's bring another kasha on Rish Lakish. Yoytzen b'matzah hina. Person's yoytzen is mitzvah's matzah. Even if that matzah is hina, it's not fully baked. U'b'matzah asuya b'ilfas. Likewise with matzah, which was produced in a pot. Now just one point that places mentions that when we speak about ilfas, we're speaking about dry heat. There's no liquid in that pot. So that explains why Rabbi Yochanan holds it like an oven. Because although it's a pot, but it's dry heat, and it's baking like an oven. So the Braisa here clearly tells us that even matzah, made in an ilfas, is considered lechem. How do we know it's considered lechem? As Rashi points out, because matzah needs to fit the bill. It's to be called lechem, lechem oini. So apparently, even something baked in an ilfas is considered lechem. And this is a kashem shlokish. Hachanami here too is speaking about this case, shir tiach, l'basayf hidbik. He first preheated the pot and then added the dough. And even according to Shlokish, this is reminiscent of the oven baking process and counts. It says, well, my matzah hina. What exactly is this matzah hina? Meaning, how well baked must it be in order to be considered lechem? Can't use dough as matzah, it's not lechem. So it's partially baked, it's not completely baked through and through. But how baked is it to be considered matzah? My matzah hin, Amar Vida Mar Shmuel. This is the test. Kol she persa, he goes and he splits the matzah, ve'in chutin m'shachin m'mena. He doesn't notice any strings, any fibers of dough pulling. So that indicates that it's sufficiently baked, it's adequately baked and considered lechem. Amar Rava v'chein lach mitoida. The same formula would be applied to lach mitoida. So these are the breads which you bring together the carbon toida, and there as well, you need to have lechem. So if it's not fully baked, we take a look at the bread, and we apply this test, this formula, and if we find it to be baked enough, there are no strings pulling, it's kosher to be used for the toida. Pshita, of course, hachalechem ksiv, vachalechem ksiv. Here by matzah, the Torah uses the word lechem, and likewise over there by toida, the Torah uses the word lechem. Why would I think to differentiate between one and the other? What's Rava's chiddush? Ma'udat tema, there is a chiddush. Perhaps I would think, hoylu ksiv, v'ikir v'menu echad, mikol karban. Torah says that you're meant to separate one from every type of bread. So you have four different categories. Three actually are matzah, and one is chametz. So the Karban Torah has those four different types of breads. 10 breads in each category. You're meant to take one of those 10 and give it to the kohen. So we learn from there, Gemara Menachos, Echad means it has to be one single entity. Echad, shalitl paros. Can't take a slice. V'hacha, in this case where it's not fully baked, in which case when you hold on to one side of the bread, the whole thing drops and breaks and cracks. So perhaps it's not considered to be one single entity. It's not a sholem. Come on, the priest of dam. Perhaps we treat it like it's sliced up, and therefore it can't be used for toida. Because as we just said, the lachmi toida need to be whole entities. What's the raya? Because the one out of ten that you give to the kohen is one, a single entity. Apparently, we're speaking about entities, whole entities. And this partially baked bread, since it falls apart on you, perhaps it's not considered echad kamashmon. That's Rav's chiddush. That it's enough. It's enough baked to be considered echad. Considered to be one single bread, one single entity. Okay, getting back to the machlokes between Reish Lakish, who said that for it to be considered bread, it has to be oven baked. A suya be'ilfis is not considered lechem. Whereas Rabbi Yechon maintains even bread baked in a ilfis is considered properly baked and has the status of lechem. Meisvi, we have a kasha from our braisa, actually a mishnah, on Rabbi Yechonah. Says the mishnah, Hame'isa. If we have this scalded flour, so you take some flour and you pour it onto boiling water. Veshame poitrin. The question is regarding chiv chal. This finished product, which was never really formed into dough and then baked. The product was completed skipping that interim stage, that dough stage. It went straight from flour to a finished product. So is that considered lechem? They say no. They say it's chayven chal. Another example, very similar example, hachalita. Another form of scalded flour, where you take the boiling water and you pour it on the flour. So Meisa was the flour on the water, Chalita is the water on flour. V'shamem mechayvin, v'sil poitrin. Says the Gemara, Ezo Meisa ve'ezo Chalita. What exactly is Meisa and what is Chalita? A slight difference. It achieves the same result, but using a different method. HaMeisa is kamach, shal gabe megloshim, kamach which is poured on the boiling water. Hachalita is Mugloshin Shalgabi Kemach, boiling water poured on flour. Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi Omer, Mishum Aviv. So what is the halacha? We have Bisham and Bisil, and we have another sheet. Rabbi Shmuel quoted his father like this. Zev is a lifter in both cases. Whether the Meisa or the Chalita, that's not considered proper lechem, and it's Pata from Chal. Ve'amrila, there's another version that his father said, Zev is a lechiv, both are chayiv. Ve'chacham Raimim, here's another shita. Echad ze vechad ze. Whether it was water on top of flour, flour on top of water. Asan be'ilfes potter. If it was formed, if it was baked, if it was created, cooked in a pot, it's potter. So whether we're speaking about this scalded flour or even a ordinary dough, but if it was baked in a pot, it wasn't oven baked, it's potter from chal. It's not called lech. Be'tan or chayv. However, if it was oven baked, so even if you take the scalded flour, but then you complete the process in an oven, that's considered lechem and yuchayv. Now before we get into the kasha on Rabbi Yochanan from this braisa, let's first analyze the wording of the braisa. You'll notice that the braisa begins with a double machlekes between Shammai and Beisil. When it comes to Meisa, Beis Shammai say potter, and Beis Hillel say chayv. when it comes to chalita, v'shamis say chayiv, and v'sil say potter. Now, what's the difference? They're both achieving the same results. It's just a different method that's being used. So what's the difference between one or the other? Ma'ishna me'isa, or ma'ishna chalita? Om Rav Yehuda Shmuel, v'chein omer Rav Yehuda, some have a gist Rav Yechon, v'itema, some say v'shuban Levi. You're right. They're both one and the same. Halachically, me'isa and chalita, they achieve the same results and have the same halach. K'machlekes b'zu, the same machlekes that applies to me'isa, for instance, kach machlekes b'zu will apply to chalita. So Beisham and Beisil maintain their positions consistently. Whether it's Me'isa or Chalita, it's the same halach. If that's the case, we seem to have a problem with our Brisa, with our Mishnah. But Tavra, we have a contradiction, because initially the Mishnah begins by saying, Ha Me'isa, or is halacha, Beisham and Potter, Beisil Chayv. And as we just said, that it's irrelevant whether it's Me'isa or Chalita. Right? They're both boiled, scalded flour. So whether you place the flour first or the water first, it's the same halacha in both. So according to the first presentation, Beisham say Pater, Beisil say Chayv. But then the Mishnah continues. HaChalita, Beisham say Chayv, Beisil say Pater. Now, once again, if Chalita and Isa are synonymous, so here we have a contradiction. Because in the first presentation, Beisham say in both cases Pater, Beisil say Chayv. In the second presentation of the Mishnah, Beisham say Chayv, Beisil say Pater. And again, we're referring to both scenarios. Their respective shitas apply to Chalita and Me'isa alike. So it's an open contradiction in the Brais, in the Mishnah. V'tavra. So the more you write. The Mishnah is simply presenting two different versions of the Machlekes Sham Misila. Mishnah Shanazu, the one who presented, who taught the first version, that Bisham say Pater, Basil say Chayiv. And indeed, that refers to whether it's Me'isa or Chalita. Loi Shanazu. He was not the same Manda Omar who presented the second version of the Machlekes. According to Beisham, it's Chayiv. According to Beisil, it's Pater. And of course, that applies to both cases equally. So we really have two versions of the Machlekes Beisham Beisil. Whether it's Me'isa or Chalita, it's irrelevant. Boiled, scalded flour. What is the halacha? According to one version, Beisham say Pater, Beisil say Chayiv. According to the other version, just the opposite. So we actually have five different Manda Omrim in this, five different Pshitas in this Brais. We have Beishamai and Beisil, two versions. We have two versions of Rabbi Yosi. And we have the Chachamim. So that's the Pshan, the Brais. Okay, getting back to our discussion. That Rabbi Yochanan is the one who holds that something baked in a pot, that doesn't constitute true baking and is not considered true Lechem. K'tanim is. At any rate, the Brais says, V'chachamim Raimim, whether it was Me'isa or Chalita, what is the halacha? She'osam be'ilfas potter. If he baked it in a pot, it's potter. B'tanu chayiv. If he oven baked it, it's chayiv. Tiftu Rabbi Yechonon. Tzikash Rabbi Yechonon. Who holds that even something baked in a pot is considered lechem? Omer Rabbi Yechonon Tanai. You're right. It's actually a machlekes Tanai. So true, the Chachamim here hold that something baked in a pot is not considered lechem, but I actually found another shita which considers it lechem. The sanya yochal yehi me'isa v'chalut chayiv machal. Perhaps I would think, I would ponder, to say that something which is scalded me'isa v'chaluta is considered lechem and chayiv machal. Tamalem lechem. So Tanakama maintains that unless it's properly baked, it's not considered lechem. Rabbi Doimer, ein lechem ela ofer betana. You meant to know that lechem, the true definition of lechem, only applies to something baked in an oven. So what do you mean? It's exact repetition of Tanakama. Isn't that exactly what Tanakama said? Rabbi Yehuda, Haim Tanakama. Where's the machlekes here? They're both saying the same thing. It needs to be oven baked to be considered lechem. There must be some nafkemina, some halachic difference. El alav, you must say, mas ilfezik benayu. That this very discussion of ours, regarding bread baked in an ilfus, that is the point of contention. Explains the Gemara. Tanakama Savar Mas Ilfus Chayovin. He holds that, yeah, if it's scalded, Me'isa Chalita, that's Pater, as he clearly says. But Let's say you take that scalded flour, that mush, and you put it into a pot afterwards. That's okay. Or if you take any dough, for that matter, and place it in a pot, and then cook it within the pot, it's chayiv. So according to Tanakama, only if it's just scalded, but once you put it in a pot and bake it there, it's okay. It's considered lech. Rabbi Yehuda Savar, Rabbi Yehuda says no. It needs to be specifically oven-baked, as he clearly says, right? He says, ein lechem ela ha'ofa betanu. So according to him, Rabbi Yehuda Savar, mas of his turn. Anything baked in something other than an oven is potter. So here we have Rabbi Yehuda. And my shita is in line with Rabbi Yehuda. That's Rabbi Yehuda speaking. So that's more not necessarily. Loi. Perhaps that's not the point of machlekes here. The kuli alma mas ilfas p'tur. Something baked in ilfas pot. So what's the machlekes here? We're speaking v'ha'cha k'gon shechazer v'afa b'tanu. K'miflegi. We're speaking here about a case where he took this material, this dough which was baked, which was cooked in a pot, and placed it in a proper oven. So it completed the baking process properly. The question is that going to make up for lost ground? The fact that the process completes properly, does that give it a din lechem or not? That's the point of contention between Tanakama and Rabbi Yehuda. Tanakama savar, kiven shechazer v'af betaner. Since he came back and placed it into an oven, lechem kurin be, it's considered lechem. So although initially he cooked it, he baked it in a pot, but since he completed the process in an oven, the gemar is what determines and it's considered to be lechem. And that explains why Tanakama says like this: mi'isa v'chaluta, so the boiled, the cooked flour, that's not chayiv, that's not lechem. But the wording of Tanakama implied that if he would have placed it in an oven and concluded the breaking process in a proper oven, that's called lechem. So that's the coin Tanakama. Rabbi the Savar, no. Ein lechem ela ha'ofa betanam yikar. The only thing that you consider lechem is something whose entire baking process, from beginning to end, occurred in a proper oven. V'kiva de mikara la betanar afi. And in this case, since initially he didn't bake it in an oven, lav lechemu. It's not considered lechem. Amar Rava, my time at Rabbi Yehuda. What is Rabbi Yehuda's reason? Tichsiv, it's based on a pasuk. Ba'afu eser nashim lachmachem betanur echad. So bread is meant to be baked consistently in one oven. So from the beginning to the end of the baking process, it's meant to be found in an oven. Not begin in a pot and then end in an oven. Lechem afu betanur echad, kari lechem. V'she'ein afu betanur echad, ein kari lechem. So in summary, we had a kasha. Rabbi Yechon. Rabbi Yechon was the one who said that even something which is non-oven baked is considered lechem, even something baked in a pot. And we had a kasha from the Chachamim who told us that only something baked in a tanner is chayiv, b'chala. So Rabbi Yechon responded, "Rakshus machlish tanoim." True, the Chachamim there say that something baked in a pot is potter, but I have Rabbi Yehuda who seems to hold that even something baked in a pot is considered proper lechem. The more responded, not necessarily, because perhaps the discussion in this price, most recent price, between Tanakam and Rabbi Yehuda, wasn't revolving around something baked in a pot. All agree, perhaps, that's not considered lechem. That's not true baking. That doesn't make lechem. We're speaking that it concluded the process in a oven. Oh, so according to Tanakam, that's enough. And that's called lechem. According to Rabbi Yehuda, since the baking process wasn't initiated and completed inside the tanner, rather began in the pot, and then in the tanner, we learn from the pasuk, that's not called lechem. Let's take a look at Rashi inside. So it's around the midpoint of the amid. Rashi begins with shechazar v'afam betanner. So we're discussing a case where he went ahead and took the same dough and put it back in the tanner. Lamas ilfas, right, this dough which was first baked in a pot, and he placed it back in the oven. V'achakam or tanakam. Talmud loyma lechem. So these scalded materials, these cooked flour, that's not called lechem. V'hanig lav nechem nenu. They're just cooked in water. V'adin l'maisa ilfis nami. Same thing would apply to something baked in a pot. That's not called lechem. Shehidbik l'vasevertiach nami lav lechem nenu. Takes a pot and then pastes dough and then heats up the pot. That's not called lechem. So that's granted. Aval chazav avi betamer. But however, we have a diuk. He would take that same material and place it in an oven. Lechem kareinu beis, certainly that would be called lechem. So that's Tanakama. Rabbi the summer, no. Offer betamer echad bina. V'loy b'shnei tanurin. It can be produced using a pot and an oven. If it's betamer. So it doesn't work. And that's why it's not called lechem. So in conclusion, we discussed the exact description and definition of the word lechem pertaining to chiyuv challah, pertaining to lechem oini, matzah on Pesach. We'll learn like this. All agree, bread produced b'chama, using heat emanating from the sun, solar heat. All agree, that's not called lechem. What about bread baked in a pot? Now we're speaking that the pot was not preheated, because if it was preheated, all agree, that's called lechem, because it's functioning like an oven. So we're speaking that it was hidbik, first he pasted the dough, and then hirtiach, he heated up that pot. According to Rish Lakish, that's not considered lechem. It needs to be oven-baked. According to Rabbi Yochanan, it is. We proceeded with chalita, this flour which was boiled. There are two versions, the chaluta and the me'isa. And we had a brisa which had many shittas. We had Bisham Besilel, two versions of those shittas. We have Rabbi Yossi, two versions of that. And we have Chachamim, who say that unless you take something and actually bake it in an oven, it's going to be potter from challah. So if this boiled flour just baked in this, cooked in this pot, or an ilfas, then there's no chiyuv challah. But if you should take that very same material and then place it in an oven to conclude the baking process, that would be considered challah, and that takes us to the next discussion. If it takes any type of dough, whether it was boiled, scalded, cooked, etc., and then concludes the baking process in a tanner, that's considered lechem. That's not, because the entire baking process did not take place but tanner echad. And we learned about matzah hina, which is the partially baked bread. This applies to matzah, which needs to be lechem oini. It applies to the lechem of toida, which needs to be baked, and also, as the Gemara says, needs to be one unit. The halacha there is that if he conducts the following test, he pulls it apart and sees no chut in the mshach, no strings being pulled apart, then he knows that it's adequately baked and it's considered lechem as pertaining to matzah, lechem oini, and also pertaining to lachmei toid. Continues the Gemara. Yosef Rabba, Rav Yosef, Achoyred Rav Zera. So Rabba, Rav Yosef, was sitting behind Rav Zera. V'yasi Rav Zera, k'me de Ula. And Rav Zera was sitting in front of Ula. Ula was the Rebbe. Omer le Rabba le Rav Zera. So Rabba turned to Rav Zera, who was sitting in front of him. And he said like this. Boy minei mi Ula. Please ask Ula the following shayla. Hidlibik mi bifnim, v'yirtiach mechutz ma'o. Rashi explains like this. Let's say he pasted his dough on the inside of the pot, and then heated up the pot from the outside, as is typically done. Mo, what is halacha? Is this considered lechem? Is this a proper method of baking or not? Amar le. So Rabbi Zera responded to Rabba. My Emily, why would I ask him this question? Why would I ask Ula the Shaila? Di Aminele, I'm going to go ask him. You know what he's going to say? Amar le. Hi, Niu Masa Ilfas. This is exactly the Masa Ilfas. Where there's a machlokes between Rabbi Yochanan and Shlokish. Okay. Amar le Rav Yosef Rav Zera. So now Rav Yosef turned. He turns to Rav Zera and says like this. Boy, my name is Ula. Please ask Ula the following shayla. Hidbik mi bafnim. What if a person takes a pot and he pastes his dough on the interior wall of the pot, but vavuka kinek dimau. He lights a fire inside the pot. So now we have the avuka, the actual flame, connected opposite this dough, baking it directly. Mao, what is the halacha here? Perhaps this is different because we have direct heat coming from the fire onto the dough. Is that considered a proper baking process? Is that considered lechem? Amar lei, so once again, Reb Zera responded. This time it was Reb Yosef who posed the question. My Emelei, why would I ask this question to the Rebbe, to Ula? The Amelei, because if I would ask him, you know what he would say? Amar lei, Roiv Aniyim Aysin Kein. Most paupers conduct themselves in this manner. As Rashi explains, they don't have enough firewood. They make a pot, like a mini oven, place a dough, and then take some splinters of wood, light a fire inside the pot, and treat it like an oven. Of course, this is considered a proper breaking procedure, and the resulting product is considered lechem. Let's see Rashi, 10 lines from the bottom of the oven. Vavuka connected. So this is the most recent shaila. We have a pot with some dough, and there's an avuka inside. Milamala. We have intense heat, heating it up, and creating the proper baking process. Ma, what is halacha? We have a kein tanor loy. Should we treat it like an oven or not? It's intense heat. It's right there, baking directly onto the dough. And he responded, of course it's okay. Roy vanim oisin. Kol mas ilfis kein. She'ein lem eitzim. They don't have enough firewood. Bukachem amar lafis. Therefore they employ this method to expedite the baking process. You take a small pot, put a piece of dough, and light a fire, that bakes. So of course that's considered afia and considered lech. Tosfos has a different pshat. He has a kasha on Rashi. Rashi learns that we're speaking about a pot. So in the first case, the shaila was, he pastes his dough in a pot and places his pot on a fire. What is halacha? So Tosfos, of course, that's the machlokes b'Rechem v'Shlakish. What was the question to begin with? That's what Tosfos learns. That we're speaking about pasting dough in an oven, not discussing a pot, we're discussing an oven. But rather than heating up the oven from within, which is a typical method, this fellow placed the fire on the outside, hirtechem b'chutz. So the question is, do we treat it like oven baked? Or perhaps it doesn't have the halacha of oven baked goods because the fire here is on the outside. You don't have that same intense heat that you have in a typical oven. And he responded, of course, it's not considered an oven, it's like merely baking inside a pot, and is dependent on the machlokes b'Rechem v'Shlakish. Likewise, in the second case, says Tosfos, we're speaking about an oven, in which case he lit a fire inside, but he didn't preheat the oven, which is a typical process. They first preheat the oven, then paste the dough. So here we took a cold oven, and lit a fire inside, and quickly pasted the dough. The question is, is it considered oven-baked or not? And he responded, no, even in this case, it's okay because the fire is directly affecting the dough and is baking it properly. Okay, time for a brief chazar of today's daf. We began with the braisa of Ein Eifen Pas Ova. According to Beis Shammai, there's a concern. According to Beis Hillel, it's mutter. The Gemara concluded, we're not speaking about the thickness. We're speaking about the multitude of bread, the quantity. According to Beis Shammai, it's a tirchei yisera. Can't go ahead and bake so much bread. When they said, it's okay. We proceeded with the halacha of Ein Oisin Srikin HaMatzuyarn. You can't go ahead and produce the designed matzah. We're concerned about creating a delay in the baking process, which may result in chametz. According to the Chachamim, this is applied universally in all cases. According to Reb Lezer, Reb Tzadik, so Reb Tzadik was the one who responded that it's not necessarily universal, it depends. According to one version of the Gemara, only the Nachtam, who is very careful about designing his thing properly, which creates a great delay, and entails a concern of chametz. Whereas your commoner, Kol Adam, doesn't have that concern. And according to the next version, just the opposite. A Nachtam is more lenient because he has that form, that mold, which he can use to create the Srikin HaMetzuyarn very quickly, without any delay. Whereas the commoner, the Kol Adam, would have a concern. Rabbi Yossi concluded by saying, this only applies to the Gluska, the thick matzah, the fact that it's thick and you're designing it, that creates a delay in the baking process. But it's just a thin matzah, go ahead and design it by any concern. Since it's thin, it'll bake quickly and there's no considerable delay. We proceeded with a discussion regarding the concept of lechem. We know that matzah needs to be lechem oini. We know that only something which constitutes lechem is chayv and chala. The verse is like this. If something was sun-baked, all agree that's not called lechem. If you preheated a pot and then pasted your dough into it, that's like an oven. All agree that's lechem. If you took a pot, pasted your dough, and then heated the pot, according to Reish Lakish, that's not called lechem. As Rashi brings, the pasuk says lechem chem betanur echad. An oven produces lechem, not a pot. Even that's called lechem. We learned about scalded cooked flour. We have Bisham Misilil, Rabbi Yosi, Rav the Chachamim. Chum say, unless it's oven-baked, that's not called lechem. We proceeded with the case where he took this dough, which was cooked or baked in a pot, but then completed the baking process in a tanur, that's called lechem, unless the entire baking process took place in a tanur, that's not called lechem, and he learns it from a pasuk. What about bread which isn't fully baked, matzah hina? What you do is you slice and you see. If there are no chutin pulling apart, then you know it's adequately baked and has a din of lechem. With regards to matzah, with respect to lachmei toidah, and we concluded that even if it takes a pot, it places a fire inside the pot, in which case the fire is directly affecting the dough, all agree that's considered a proper afiyah and has a din of lechem. Take care. Lots of atzlocha.